Matameo and his friends had lain miserably in the darkened cell until they lost track of night or day. Several attempts had been made to force the door, each one more futile than the last. Orma's body ached from the number of times she had thrown herself at the heavy, unyielding door, and Sam's teeth were numb through trying to gnaw at the timbers. Matameo, Tim, Tess, Jube, and even Cynthia had tried in one way or another, all resulting in bleeding and splinter-stuck paws. They sat miserably in the darkness. Cynthia began weeping.
"They're there, hush now. We'll get out of here, you'll see,"
Tess comforted her. Orma placed her aching back against the wall.
"I'd like to think we'll get out of here too, but where would we go?"
"Anywhere,"
Matameo's voice trembled.
"I wouldn't mind getting out of here just to die fighting those robed rats instead of perishing down here like some insect under the ground. At least it would be better than a life under the whip of a slave keeper."
"Shh!
Who said that?"
Sam crawled close to Matameo.
"I did. Listen, can you hear anything?"
"No. Can you?"
"I'm not sure, but it sounds like a drum pounding far away and the sound of voices."
Cynthia Bankvall sobbed aloud. Tess snapped at her impatiently.
"What a foolish idea. Where are all these drums and voices coming from, Sam? I can't hear a thing."
Orma stood up.
"I can. Sam's right. It sounds like pounding and chanting and shouting. Whatever it is, you can wager it's not going to be any party for us. Maybe Cynthia's right."
Tim's voice came out of the gloom.
"Really, Orma? Not you too. Voices, drums, chanting. I thought you had a bit more sense than frightening others."
"I can't hear anything, but I agree with Orma. Sometimes it's best to expect the worst. That way you're never disappointed,"
Jube said philosophically.
"Well, thanks for cheering us all up, Hedgehog,"
Tess scoffed.
"Here we are, locked in a cell below ground and manacled without a hope or a weapon between us. And you're chattering on about us being the dinner at some sort of evil ceremony."
"Hush,"
Sam interrupted.
"I can hear paws coming this way, and a dragging sound too."
Cynthia gave a little scream. Matameo stood up, resolute.
"Well, let them come, and we'll make an end of it one way or another. Let's try and do what our parents or Martin the Warrior would do in a corner like this. Sell our lives dearly. We have manacles, and they can be turned into weapons. Let whoever beast it is come and try to do their worst."
Supported by Flug and two other shrews, Logalog made his way painfully up the tortuous, winding passages towards the surface. The shrew leader groaned and lowered himself slowly down, resting his back against the door.
"Logalog, are you all right?"
Flug asked anxiously. He nodded wearily.
"I must sit here a while. It's all uphill to the copse. Let me rest and catch me breath."
The shrews sat with him.
"When we get above ground, you must leave me,"
he said, turning to Flug.
"Go back and help our friends. Flug, you have been my good comrade and brother for many seasons. Listen now. Once you leave me and I am no longer with you, the Gausim must have a new leader. That one is you, Flug. Forget your name. Now you are Logalog of all the Gausim."
Flug banged the door angrily with his sword hilt.
"No, do not talk like that. You must live."
Logalog held a paw to his throat wound.
"You cannot disobey me. The law and rules of the Gausim say this is the way it must be. If there were a river or a stream here now, I would ride a log on my last journey. Then you would have no choice. Hear me. I have spoken. What was that?"
Some creature was banging on the door from the other side. Flug banged in reply. Placing his mouth near the jam, he called,
Log-a-log-a-log-a-log!
There was more thumping in reply, followed by a voice calling,
"Red wall! Moss flower!"
Log-a-log struggled to his paws.
"I'd know that voice anywhere. It's just like his father's. It's Matthias's young one. Get that door open, Gausim!"